Hey folks, and welcome to Dungeon Casters, the Dungeon Master Advice Show for Rookie DMs by Rookie DMs.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Ben.
And we're here to help you elevate your campaign.
Mind, body, and spirit.
Welcome to the Tony Shalhoub Appreciation Cast.
I love it. I still love it. This week on Dungeon Casters, we're going to be talking about monks.
Hey! Get it? Oh, man.
Oh, love it.
Hope you get it.
I love it. I love it so much. Okay, so as with always, let's go over the basic functionality.
So, with monks, first thing to keep in mind with monks is shit's dope.
Shit's dope all over.
Oh my god, monks are so fucking good. Except for the Way of the Four Elements.
Yeah.
Every monk is un-goddamn believable.
Yeah, I've heard the ratio of skill points to effect you get from your various elemental abilities doesn't quite match up, and you'd be better suited with like an elemental sorcerer or wizard or something like that. But in most other ways, the monks are absurd.
In combat and stealth.
It is amazing. They're so good, it almost seems like an oversight.
But as Ben and I were talking, we were looking at it because we were reading, through the player's handbook, looking at the monks and stuff like that. And we were just like, fuck, man, like these guys are way too good. And then we started looking at it and the unarmed attacks are what they do more often than the regular attacks. And the monk weapons as well, they're all low dice damage.
Yeah.
So you do get a lot of hits. You have an average accuracy. You have really good avoiding abilities. You never get touched. You can deflect arrows. You can save from anything. Your body stops aging.
Yeah. You can sort of rid yourself of charm effects or fear effects, later on anyway. And then depending on what subclass you take, you're either dealing huge amounts of damage, sometimes instantly lethal blows, or you're the best stealth class in the game. So
yeah, actually, as much as it pains me to the very core of my being to say this, Shadow Monks are the best stealth class in the game. Better than Rangers, better than Rogues.
Sounded like it hurt.
It was hard to say.
The words better than Rogues. Your body was never meant to say that.
It was the first and only time.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. So, in terms of combat, their DPS, if you're not surprised, they're more flexible DPS. Mm-hmm. They're more skirmish fighters than they are frontliners.
Yeah.
They have great dodge abilities, and their dex often gives them solid AC. But if they get hit, they've got a good health pool too, but they've got, once you've gotten through, you've kind of gotten through, I think is part of the downside.
But it's really fucking hard to get
through. It's hard to get through. I mean, it is true. It's hard to get through. They have a lot going for them on the dodge front.
Yes. On the dodge and avoidance front, even on the save front as well, they have a lot going for them. They're one of the classes that gets evasion, which can minimize successful spell saves to zero damage instead of half damage.
They get deflect arrows, so...
Oh, yeah, deflect.
So they're pretty good against, ranged combatants, too.
The deflect arrows keeps getting better to the point where I don't know if it... I think it's still a thing in 5e. It was a thing in 3.5 where it's, deflect arrows, catch arrows, and then, return fire.
Yeah.
So as a reaction, you catch the arrow that was thrown at you and just whip it back at the dude.
I love the idea, but it makes so many things just seem like a bad idea. It's just I don't even want to touch, I don't want to go near this person. Just if I can't drop him in a hole, I'm dead.
You only get one reaction a turn, so
yeah, even so.
With that, you can only do it once. But I mean, that being said, monks, primarily, the way I view them, is the most self-sufficient class that exists in Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
If you were running a campaign and you had two people, a Dungeon Master and a player, that player better fucking be a monk. Because Otherwise, it's not going to work out too well. But like a monk can do well on their own.
A monk can do well on their own. They really can, which is a little averse to the point of the game. I think that might be some of the trouble with their design for me, is that they are so self-sufficient in a lot of ways that, and they don't like necessarily lend anything else to anybody else. You know, all their abilities are very targeted on themselves. And so they have kind of a selfish skill set. Now, it can be used to benefit the party, but, you know, even fighters or barbarians, like, they have abilities to, like, redirect damage towards themselves, or they can block for other characters. Or just by virtue of being frontliners, they're drawing attention. Whereas the monks, it's very, like, they're going to get in, they're going to get out, they're not going to take the hits for anybody else. You know, the deflect missiles is probably as close as you're ever going to get to, like, a utility skill that benefits, like, another player directly.
Especially because with deflect arrows, I'm pretty sure at some point you can do it to just, like, anyone who's close to you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So, like, you can just, like, deflect arrows from your friends?
Yeah. So... With the monk, and I mean...
No, wait, I'm wrong. I don't think that's...
Oh, you're wrong. But, okay, well, it happens. But I think with the monk, because you get flurry of blows, right? Which is the big thing. You get to hit a lot of times. Now, like you said, you do fairly low damage die on each of those hits. So you have to hope that you get a lot of them, right? To maximize the damage, to build the damage. That said, if you don't, you're doing very little damage on, like, one hit. So you don't want to miss. You want to minimize misses as much as possible, because I think that the results of missing are more disastrous than they are for other classes necessarily. So, certainly. So you know, you have a character who in a lot of ways is kind of a battlefield controller. When you have, especially with larger parties where your DM throws, you know, a big bat or two and then a lot of minion enemies, a monk can almost single-handedly deal with all of those minion enemies. But because they might do very low damage, or even if they hit at all, they have potential to do very little damage on all the die combined. You not necessarily in the beginning will they be the best against, like, high AC, high health boss type monsters. Those are oftentimes better left for your fighters and your barbarians, who get, you know, a lot of full strength attacks with great swords and axes and hammers and things like that.
But that being said, with the use of those key points that you get as a monk, you can function pretty well as a support fighter. Not in the sense of you support, in the sense like a cleric does, but more of a sense of, like, you use your abilities to benefit the party. So you use Stunning Strike. You stun that enemy, so when the fighter gets his next turn, he gets a cheap shot.
Yeah.
Or you are able to do the same kind of dancing in and dancing out of combat that a rogue can do, so the two of you can do that whole thing to give them sneak attack, jump in, do some damage, jump out.
That's a good point. Yep.
And I know we kind of have a little bit of a rule where we don't talk about Unearthed Arcana on this show, and that's, I just want to clarify, that's not because we don't like Unearthed Arcana. We, in fact, love Unearthed Arcana. We think that those articles are fucking awesome, and I use tons of them all the time. The reason we don't use it is because the game just is getting so big that we just don't have the time, and maybe we'll jump to them, you know, further on down the road. But for now, we kind of ignore them, except for right now, because monks are the goddamn coolest. The Unearthed Arcana monk, one of them, I think it's like the pacifist monk. I forget what the exact terminology is, but the bottom line, it turns the monk into a healing class.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes them all the better. Like, that is so unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're like they lose a lot of their combat proficiency, because the idea is, you know, they are a pacifist, but, like, at the same time, they get this ability at, like, level 17 or something like that, where, like, if any ally drops to zero hit points in their vision, they turn to this, like, demonic arbiter of vengeance.
Yeah, the blood mist descends over their eyes, and they become, like, for two rounds, like, unstoppable killing machines.
Exactly. So, like, you have a lot of variety with monks, which is why this episode, when we were planning it, was so hard for us. It was hard to think of like outside of the box monks, because monks have a lot of variety. You have the standard like Avatar of the Four Elements. You have the Way of the Fist, like punch
Yeah,
monk.
the way of the open palm, I believe it
Yes.
is.
The Shadow Monk, which is like stealth ninja, and then Unearthed Arcana, you have that pacifist one, which becomes a healer. You have the Drunken Master, which is like a really cool, different kind of tavern brawler-esque fighter, and then you have the like weapons master, who is just like really, really good at like all sorts of different weapons and stuff like that. So you have a lot of variety with a monk.
Yeah, and I mean, even though their skill set isn't necessarily that varied, you know, it's a lot of like a religion and insight and things like that, history and things that you kind of expect, perception, you know, like those sorts of things you'd expect, and they don't. There's nothing there that when I look for, it's not surprising to me. But still, you get the background, and the backgrounds would be fun to play with a monk, because those will give you some interesting additional features. You know, making your monk more of a charlatan or a street urchin or something like that certainly presents some different options and some different skill sets that they're worth pursuing.
And I want to definitely to transfer into our personal ideas and our customizing options and stuff like that. I want to simply say that like monk is just a title, it's not a definition. So like fighter, where there's a lot of variety and the name doesn't really do it justice, or honestly, that's the way I feel about rogue, because people hear rogue and think thief, but that doesn't mean a rogue has to be a thief. So like it's the same thing. A monk does not have to be this wise old Shaolin master type guy, doesn't have to be, you know, orange robes, shaved head, beads monk or something like that. Like you can do a lot if you just allow yourself to ignore the implications you put on monk. Like yes, Kung Fu and this kind of fighter has a lot of strong tropes, but you can step beyond them and you can step past them.
Okay, so one of the things that monks present, because they do so much, is that they do so much. So when considering you as a DM, the world you planned on making, consider sort of supplanting monks into various cultural roles that they don't normally inhabit. And you can think of them as just a skill set, or you can think of them as monks as we know them, Jim. But consider, for example, like a police force, like play, maybe a place where like weapons are outlawed, so you have an unarmed, non-lethal police force. They're lawful in nature, so that works out. They're even tempered, so that works out. You get kind of like a very biological Judge Dredd system, maybe, RoboCop kind of thing. And that's something that you could absolutely try out. So, I mean, what other things you got?
Well, I mean, like, the other thing is, like, building a culture where, you know, if you're familiar with how knights functioned in a feudal system, like, building a culture that monks replace knights. Because at the end of the day, monks are highly trained warriors, and that's what a knight was. So, like, you have that same social role, that same nobility sect of warriors, but instead of being, you know, knights, really, which would be fighters, have it be monks and have, like, you know, nobility train for years instead of to be, you know, riding horses and armor and stuff. They train in combat of the martial art kind of variety and in spiritualism and stuff like that. So you get, like, a very different, 'cause honestly, like, the way knights functioned in real life was like, all right, so the bandits would rape and kill your family, the knights would just rape your
I
family.
was
So
just
you
thinking
hung
you
out
were going
with
to
the
say that.
knights. And like with the monks, you have a very kind of different look at that. You can do something that's like a little bit more utopian, a little bit more altruistic of a protecting like guard type army force in a society.
Yeah, and so another way you can think of them is having them serve a sort of prophetic role. I was thinking kind of the Greybeards from Skyrim or something, where they live upon a mountain. And this is very monkish. I mean, the Greybeards are monks, but they have a link with the Fates. They have a semi sort of maybe soothsaying quality to them. And they train only very specific ones. They don't like take in anybody who comes up to them. They're not a school necessarily. They're not, they don't raise children en masse. You know, they don't adopt frequently, but they are in tune with the threads of fate and the spirits and the gods and things like that. In a way, you know, sort of clerical cousins, and they train very specific people. So that would give your character or any NPC that you as a DM develop an interesting kind of backstory, kind of a chosen one backstory, but usually they don't turn into monks. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, and even in a less, like, pulling further away from the monkiness, like, because they are primarily, like, dexterity and wisdom-based classes, that, like, combination of wisdom and dexterity really transfers well into trade-based backgrounds and skills. So, like, if you have, you know, the monks function as, like, skilled artisans in your society.
Yeah.
So, like, instead of simply being warriors, when your country's not at war, they're your skilled artisans. But because they already have the manual dexterity and the wisdom to be a skilled warrior, they also have that to apply to a trade or a craft or something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe in that case, really, that trade or craft is more the focus of their goal. And the combat is more almost like a professional necessity or a national necessity. You know, everyone knows how to do it because they need to defend themselves, but most of what they do, their aspirations, their pride, so on and so forth, is about the craft, whatever it is. So again, as a character and an NPC opportunity, it's there for you. And I think it's worth pursuing. I like that idea a lot. In the same way, because monks are so good physically, they have so many skills, they're so dexterous, they're so strong, they're so fast, they're so easy, they sneak around well, you know, they're light-footed, they can jump far, you know, all these things. They make great athletes. So if you want that as a backstory, if you want that, if you're having a campaign where there's some sort of Olympic game going on, you know, modeling it after, you know, maybe something like, you know, you have like really contentious, like sporting events in our own history that were not only difficult and sometimes dangerous, but representative of larger issues, you know, sort of Cold War times or World War II times, or I'm sure there's a million and one sporting events I don't know about worldwide that were huge deals for various countries.
Ben, learn some sports.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know a lot about sports. But I do understand that major nationwide and multinational sporting events have sometimes been the crux of like the largest social changes throughout history. And so having monk characters who are that exceptional physically, and in some cases mentally, actually, I think in all cases mentally, and who don't age, that's would be an interesting place
to
put them.
You're really salty about them.
It's ridiculous. They're too good. They're too good. They have everything. It's like, oh, we're the best fighters. Also, we're the sneakiest. Also, we stop aging. Like, fuck you. Listen up, golden boy. Like, chill out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. They get under me. I don't know why.
I guess so. Well, that's fine. On a completely different note, transitioning to alternate fighting styles. So, the Drunken Master kind of opens the door up to this. But, like, the Tavern Brawler-esque kind of monk fighter is, like, because at the end of the day, the monk is an unarmed combatant. So, like, even thinking of your monk as, like, a bare-knuckle boxer or, like, you know, just a brawler, someone who, you know, beats mm-hmm. people up with their hands. And if not, like, looking into alternate forms of martial arts, especially more modern forms that aren't necessarily connected with monastic traditions, you have things like Krav Maga, which is, like, a really, really effective and, like, ridiculous and violent
martial art. A hyper-military-oriented martial art.
Exactly, but, like, if that's what your monk does, that's pretty badass. And going on the opposite foot, taking that monastic tradition that might not be associated with martial arts, i.e. the Western monastic tradition, and pulling it into that and making, you know, a monk character based off, like, Christian friars or...
I was actually just thinking something like a yogi or something like yeah. that would be a totally easy transition to make for a monk character.
Well, I mean, yeah, and, like, yoga is connected in some ways with the same kind of spirituality, so it's something that, like, would make sense.
Yeah.
But even taking, like, a rabbi or, you know, like, a priest or something like that from more Western religions and having it be like, oh, yeah, but also this rabbi is really good at beating people up.
I mean, who doesn't want a combat rabbi?
That's what I'm saying.
That's all I've ever wanted to be.
Well, I mean, you're halfway there.
And I could be. Yeah. Likewise, I think it's very common, tempting, makes sense in an immediate way to, like, take your monk very seriously because they're monks. And when you think of monks, a lot of times you think of very serious people. That said, I mean, don't be afraid to make really silly monks. Somebody who, you know, dodges all the blows because they're really clumsy. You know, whose hits stack up because they kind of trip into their enemies all the time. Somebody who's not trained. They just, like, are sort of miraculously really good and just, like, nobody really knows how they get it done, but they always get it done. You know, they're in the right place at the right time just by, like, some ridiculous twist of fate. You know, the spear just never quite hits them. The arrows just pass them.
And that's the thing is, you can literally just be, like, explain it as being touched by fate in a sense where it's, like, boils down to really, really good luck is why you have that, you know, kind of ability.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's not often really seen or used, and kind of the first time I saw it recently was in the D&D actual play podcast God's Fall, which is DM'd by, in my opinion, one of the like greatest modern DMs in, you know, podcasts and things like that, Aram Vartian. He has this order called the Anti-Theots. This is the entire religion that's literally an anti-religion. The idea is that the gods are, you know, petty and humans are better than them, so you don't worship the gods because, like, screw the gods. And a lot of their priests are monks. And, like, although the organization might be, like, on the outside altruistic, they're an evil organization. They are, like, kind of the antagonists. Mm-hmm. So, like, having these monks that aren't, like, peaceful, good, I fight for the small person, but just, like, literally big, tough, super hyper-trained combat guys who are just like, yeah, I'm really good at beating people up, and I'm going to use that to steal all of your money. Or, like, do other mean guy shit. I don't know. Like, you can... It's not a road commonly traveled down, so, like, my brain's kind of farting out on examples.
Yeah, no, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'd also considered, like, Warforged monks as, like, a cool option. They wouldn't necessarily take on, like, the monastic tradition, but I just really like the idea of a robot with, like, a piston arm just punching, like, 4 times every 3 seconds. That's it. Also, the ageless feature that monks will eventually get does make a lot of sense early on. The idea of them being, like, resistant or in some cases able to totally diffuse charms and fear makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, they present themselves well to this kind of thing because the monks do have, like, almost like an inhuman quality in their efficiency. Also, you had asked me if I could make a monk right now, who would I make? And I was unsure and I panicked, and B, totally remiss that I hadn't made one reference to the movie Mystery Man yet, which is, like, one of my favorite movies. So I was thinking the Blue Rajah as my monk. And if you don't know, the Blue Rajah is a sort of weebly little man in a bunch of silk who throws silverware with the...
Not knives, though.
Not only knives. Spoons and specifically forks. Spoons and forks. He hurls them. He hurls them with accuracy. And I would love to make something as goofy and oddball as the Blue Raja. And I can't think of any other class that would suit it well enough besides a monk.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is I did play for a very short stint, but I did play a 5e monk. And it was right after I watched Avatar The Legend of Korra for the first time. And as someone who is super into punk and hardcore, having Henry Rollins voice one of the characters on that show was really rad for me. I mean, Henry Rollins, take him or leave him, but, like, it was really cool seeing someone that I know from, like, my music interests also being on one of my, you know, my fantasy interests kind of thing. And so his character was this character named Zaire, and I based my monk off him, but I altered it a little differently because I didn't really like the path of the four elements kind of way that would be a little bit closer to the actual character on Legend of Korra. So I made a shadow monk named Zaire the Anarchist, and his big thing was he was an anarchist. And so, whoa, like,
no way.
I know, right? It was all in the name. He was really, you know, any kind of authority in any regard, very much against it, and he was also an explosives expert. So, like, I used all of my starting money, literally, like, everything I could scrape together. I sold all of my possessions that, like, came with my character to get enough money to buy Alchemist Fire, just so I could just, like, throw firebombs at people. So he was just, like, this kung fu dude who just, like, whipped Molotov cocktails and built bombs and stuff. It was a really fun character.
Yeah.
Which is also a different kind of monk.
Yeah, absolutely different kind of monk. Like a terrorist or something. So, on to the section that we have made kind of a theme, which is where we take pop culture references and we turn them into D&D characters. So the first one is to no one's surprise. We're going to lowball it. We're going to start with the avatar and the characters therein. They represent both the fighting style, the tradition, and the ability to bend the elements. They're obvious, but remember that all of the characters within that series are pretty much open to this class. So when thinking about personalities and motivations and abilities and focuses and stuff like that, when you're there, you're looking at two series worth of reference material.
Yeah, 100%. Someone that I suggested that I had to do a little convincing of Ben on my part was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, she I'm still torn.
I know you think she's a fighter.
I do.
I think she's a monk, mostly because, like, a lot of her fighting is unarmed. She is very acrobatic. She does a lot of the, like, flips and the jumps and stuff like that. And, I mean,
and she,
I don't know.
And she's trained for many years inside the walls of high school.
Yeah, she's a cheerleader.
That's true.
And, like, she has that whole, like, their trainer, Giles, and, like, she studies ancient weapons and, like, uses Psy and stuff. She's a fucking monk, dude.
Okay. So, other ones we thought of, I mean, it's hard to think. We have here, you know, like Goku and DBZ characters, and likewise, you know, Naruto and stuff like that. I mean, it's hard to think of like a major anime that doesn't kind of is inhabited by monks and like the types therein. I want to make a special shout out to Rock Lee, the best monk, the only monk I'll ever need. And that son of a bitch has made me cry so many times. I just want to put that out there.
All right, after that very heartfelt message out to Rock Lee from Ben, I'm going to go ahead and say not only Neo, but, like, literally everyone from The Matrix.
The entire cast of The Matrix.
Every single character.
We said Neo, and then we were like, oh, Trinity 2, and then it was like, everyone in that fucking movie's doing Kung Fu. Like, they're all monks. you know.
They're all monks. Everyone in the Matrix is a goddamn monk.
Everyone in the Matrix is a monk. Everyone. We also have, in terms of, you know, a sillier character, you got, like, Po from Kung Fu Panda, you know. It's just a you know, not a particularly original take on, you know, a monk, as it's still a kung fu movie, basically, but that's, you know, you have a much more humor-centric version of the monk there.
Also, in regards to race, I mean, Ben just recently played a character that was the stats of a halfling, but aesthetically was an anthropomorphic bunny.
Yo.
So, yes, like, it did. You can play a panda guy. You just, I would use, personally, probably half-orc stats.
Yeah, something big.
For Poe.
Yeah. Half-orc stats. You might even consider, like, and, I don't know. Do they have Minotaur stats now?
Yeah, they got Minotaur stats.
I'd consider it.
Yeah.
Or Werebear. Werebear stats.
Yeah, I'm, honestly, you could figure it out. Yeah. It would definitely be something you could do.
Yeah.
Taking a dip out of, you know, fantasy and TV and movie and stuff and into the real world, I'm going to say Rey Mysterio Jr. or any single other high flyer from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, most of WWE.
A lot of WWE.
Any wrestler. The WWE is, a lot of them are monks, especially the high flyers, though. You got, you know, Rey Mysterio Jr. pulling 619s and Frankensteiners and these, like, ridiculous gymnastic acrobatic tucks and tumbles and throws and grapples. That's a very monk-like kind of thing to do.
Yeah. You had also said to me Ronda Rousey. Likewise.
Another real person.
A lot of those, like, mixed martial arts fighters would make terrific versions of monks if you have a personal favorite or something like that.
Kimbo Slice or that guy whose name I always mix up with Ewan McGregor's name.
I think it's Conor.
I knew it's a McGregor.
Yeah. But,
he's a fight guy.
He's a fight guy. Conor fight guy. Yeah, so
next
I mean,
what I got.
Oh my god, I just looked down the list and I saw three ninjas and I'd forgotten we put three ninjas on this list.
I mean, it's a little bit on the nose, but I've actually never seen the movie.
What?
I've never seen Three Ninjas.
Oh god, I did. I watched them when I was a kid. Yeah, the brothers Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum, the best ninjas. They were like fucking 10. Tum Tum was like 4 years old or something. It's a ridiculous series. So, you know, that's an option.
I put on, looking more towards, like, the idea of the evil monk,
mm-hmm.
I put on, Riddick from Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah, at least a very chaotic monk.
Yeah, I mean, he is roguish, but, like, I think much more monk, because it's a lot of feats of athletics, it's a lot of, he does use the daggers, but it's still, like,
he's a little too in your face for a rogue, I think.
Exactly. It's the stealth is a part of it, but it's not the entirety of it, which is why I put him in monk.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I agree. To movies again, you have someone like Celine from Underworld. You know, another one of those series that's kind of like, it's okay, I guess.
Yeah. Everyone's, yeah.
But again, you have a sort of, you know, for your Way of the Shadow monk, you have someone who's very oriented with darkness. I mean, she's a vampire. A lot of quick, close combat, very fast, very precise, very lethal, uses weapons occasionally, but it's like that movie has a ton of hand-to-hand combat. It's very Matrix-like in that way.
Yeah.
And also, you know, given, the supernatural element, I mean, you know, consider a monk who's also a vampire in the world of D&D is an enormous threat that I, as a DM, would never want to deal with, but it's doable. You know, it just makes you exceedingly powerful. So.
Yeah.
Next
on the list, I got Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid.
That's an interesting choice. Because, I'm surprised you didn't make Solid Snake a rogue, and I would love to hear your reasoning.
Because Solid Snake is too combat-based for him to be a rogue. I mean, like, although the proficiency in guns is a big part of Solid Snake's kind of thing, the close quarter combat, or CQC as they call it in the game,
CQC.
is like it's something he developed and invented, or Big Boss, or one of the snakes, or Big Boss.
One of the crazy timeline people.
I forget the timeline, but, like, the bottom line is, like, he uses martial arts and stealth. He's a monk.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I'm going to throw, I don't even know for the what number time, another Pratchett reference in here and say that he has time monks in his book who weave the threads of time and keep track of things and make sure things are going orderly and occasionally travel back in time to do stuff. And they've developed a martial art called Deja Fu, which is kind of like a martial art where nobody moves until somebody collapses because they each are going back in time to hit each other and counter each other so that when the present comes, it has already happened. So I like that as a cool aesthetic to have for a monk where, you know, they dodged it, not because they actually ducked out of the way, but because when the time came, they weren't there to begin with. And when they do the flurry of blows, all that really happens is they're standing still, and all of a sudden the target collapses because they've gone back. And you don't have to go crazy with time travel. I know that's like a really big risk to give to the players, but if you sort of use it as a coat of paint and keep it within the strict confines of the abilities rules, I don't see there's any reason why you couldn't toy around with something like that. I think it's totally reasonable. And, you know, it still is a concerted effort. As long as your player, your character is human, well, living and sentient and a being that has exhaustion and stuff like that. I mean, you know, they can mess up. They're not always just traveling through time or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm going to finish off our list. I'm going to top it off with Jason Statham, the man himself, the Transporter.
The Transporter.
I mean, the Transporter just, like, beats dudes up. Like, he has a whole car driving aspect, but he also has the beating dudes up aspect, so, like...
Just like a monk.
Just like
just
a monk.
Beats dudes monk. Up.
Just beats dudes up.
Yeah. Alright. So that was a pretty exhaustive list. I was surprised. I didn't know if we were going to get there, but we got it.
We pulled a lot more than we thought out.
We weren't expecting
Speaking
it.
Speaking of which...
Yeah.
If you have any more questions about the worlds you... Or about the world of monks or... any other things in regards to monks, you can just any other questions at all, you can just go ahead and email us at dungeoncasterspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, or send us a tweet at dungeon_casters.
Maybe we can answer your questions in an episode.
We'd love to. We would love to have the interaction. Yeah. We'd love to feel like we weren't totally alone in the universe.
Oh man. Hey Ben.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey Ben.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Ben.
Yeah.
So a monk walks up to a hot dog vendor. And looks deep into the hot dog vendor's eyes.
So Tony Shalhoub walks up to a hot dog vendor?
Oh no, this is like a Buddhist monk.
Okay. Walking up to a hot okay. Dog okay.
And he looks deep into the hot dog vendor's eyes and he says, "Make me one with everything."
Oh, God. I'm sorry, Scott. It's in my head. It's still Tony Shalhoub saying that.
That's okay. It's the worst. But don't worry, it's not over yet, because he hands the hot dog vendor a $20 bill. And the hot dog vendor makes him his hot dog and hands him the hot dog. And then the monk stands there expectantly looking at him. And he turns to the hot dog vendor and he goes, "Where's my change?" And the hot dog vendor goes, "Change comes from within."
In this podcast, we used Achilles and News Sting by Kevin McLeod of Accompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons.